I like salmon, but I don't get salmon very often because Judy's allergic to salmon. But she blesses me sometimes, and when it's on sale, she'll get me some salmon and bring it home, and I'll cook it and I'll enjoy it. But salmon, there's a salmon and a fish called a steelhead trout. Now, these particular two types of fish is what scientists call amygdosomous, which simply means this, that they hatch in fresh water, then they swim to the ocean to live out their lives, and then they return once again to the fresh water to spawn. When the tide turns, they literally swim upstream against the current in order to reach their spawning grounds. It's a strong intellect that God has given to these fish to be able to swim against the flow or swim against the tide. Their behavior is driven by their desire to reproduce. It's interesting. And so the drive to reproduce is also how we are to carry on our faith. We have an astute old saying in our language. It goes back into the Roman time, but it goes this way. Only dead fish go with the tide or go against the grain. Sometimes in order to reproduce, to share the gospel, whether it's fish or our faith, you get to swim against the tide at times. So what does that mean for us in 2025? Well, according to the scripture today that I read, it means that we must go against our gut instincts when it comes to people we don't like, who have treated us badly, or who differ from us in any way, shape, or form. And we must love them, not tolerate them, not ignore them, not to shut them out, or worse, demonize them. No, we are to love them. You say, that's hard. Yeah, it is. If you think that Jesus pushed us in very uncomfortable ways in the past when you focus on the words that he was saying and things that is hard to understand, I think that you'll find this current challenge in what we got to do is to love one another. It's a real challenge. But Jesus has a point. He says, well, it's easy to love your friends sometimes. They're already your friends, and even the gnarliest of the folk love their own friends. It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you. It's a simple reciprocation type of progress. And sure, yeah, it's easy to loan somebody something knowing and expecting you're going to get it back. It's all good. Or is it? But Jesus said that's not discipleship. Discipleship are followers of Christ. We disciple one another as Jesus discipled us. And it's the general consensus that everyone can subscribe to that, but, I love the buts and yes, discipleship's hard. It is not easy to be a disciple of Christ. But discipleship goes beyond reciprocation. It does really the hard thing that nobody else has the courage or the moxie to do. Disciples of Jesus love people that are really hard to love. And they're the kind of people who aren't kind back, those ones that are hard to love. We experience that in this church sometimes when people passing through, they stop here and we reach out and we disciple them and different things like that. And then they turn and, well, you know how it goes. Why is that? I don't know, but I think it's what God would do. He said, listen to this line. I'll cause you to maybe just gloss over one of them. This is it. If you do this, if, the but said if you do this, you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You think, what in the world is he saying? Well, God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Wait a minute, preacher. weren't we expecting God to, you know, like smite them or do something like that, strike down the wicked, send the fiery flames to them and cut them off and judge them as harshly as they behaved? I don't know about that. But this is not the vision of God that Jesus teaches. Jesus assures us that God is with us. Best and in a very truthful voice, that God is much more merciful than we like to imagine. Certainly much more merciful than we would even like to hope for. Think about the story about Jonah. Now, Jesus is perfectly clear. As disciples, we are to do the opposite of what our culture would do, the opposite of what we as humans might expect. We are also to love those who sin, as hard as that is, those who seem to be ungrateful, those who reject us, those who even seem to us to be wicked. For that's our job as Christ followers. It's basic discipleship 101 in the Jesus book of the way. The way is the word. The word is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. Who is the word? It's Jesus manifested in the flesh. And he experienced everything that we experience in this world. That's how he can come and say, I'm also God, guys, but I also have a human nature, and I went through this stuff. But I also know what my Father wants, and I'm telling you, it can be done. Now, Jesus' challenge is certainly not easy. So what do you do when loving is difficult, and more importantly, forgiveness just feels impossible? Well, Jesus called it the Big Seven. Let me share with you the Big Seven. The first one is this. We must treat every human being with due respect and to see them the way God sees them, as a person of worth, created by God. Second thing is, we must do to others as we would have them do to us. Golden rule. The third thing is, we must be thoughtful, not reactive. The fourth thing, we must be forgiving and not condoning. The fifth thing is, we must learn in our lives to go from coping to capable. And the sixth thing, we must affirm that love is a commitment, not just a mere response. And the last thing is this. If all of that fails, we must remind ourselves measure for measure, talked about at the end of that scripture, is real. And it gets us nowhere. Kick my dog and I'll stomp your cat. You know, retaliation. Sometimes, especially, it's the contentious waters of our current culture. And we must widen our lens sometimes. Instead of seeing sharks and rays and eels running around in the water, we must merely see fish all swimming together in God's great ocean of the world. And we must hold our judging eyes and remember that we all wear walls in our eyes. The moment that we can see somebody as a fellow human being with fears and anxieties and doubts and assumptions and experiences and hopes and dreams, we have hurdled all of our greatest laws. But when we demonize others, we take away their humanity and view them as objects that are wrong rather than subjects of interest. Be curious, not judgmental. Learn about someone with different views. After all, blood is thicker than water. I like what Alveda King talked about, and she refers to it, you'll find it in the book of Romans, we all bleed one blood. Paul said that, we are all one blood. And the blood of Christ sheds us from all unrighteousness with the forgiven. That same blood that cleansed you and me is the same blood that cleanses everybody, because we are all part of the body of Christ. Well, okay. Can we really hope for the best for our neighbors and friends? Even if their success appears to be unfair or opposed to what we hope for them or even ourselves, how selfish Are we really selfish? I always like to think about babies. You know, babies are very selfish. They come into this world, me. You know, and they keep it up until mama puts a bottle in their mouth or whatever and feeds them, and you know, but no, mine. We're all that. When human nature, times have changed, but human nature has never changed. That's why Jesus came. He said, I got to understand these people I created. What in the world did I do? Oh, I know. I'll go down there and be one just like them. And he came the same way we came, through the birth canal. Well, we can practice our listening skills and truly hear what our neighbors are saying without simply reacting, for reactions are reciprocal. They generally lead to further reactions, which then escalates and sometimes in the unhelpful sniping. Listening, however, is a seldom praised enough skill that can allow us to acknowledge our differences and still love our bond as friends and neighbors and fellow human beings. Listening can be our greatest sign of respect. Not only that, listening is a great diffuser. One of our best loving responses is just to listen and smile. Now that's really the hard part. We can be forgiving and still not be condoning. Yeah, we don't need to agree with somebody to be in their shoes in order to let them walk. No, forgiving does not mean that someone has done to you what they did to you is okay. No, forgiving them doesn't mean that you are agreeing with them in their vitriol attitude. You know, letting them off the hook. Nuh-uh. It does mean, though, that you no longer hold on to that fishing lure that keeps your mind and heart bound to hook them, line and sinker. Most often, our emotional anger, hurt, feelings of betrayal come from our need and desire to change the person who harmed us, to make them see it our way, to make them love us back. And sometimes you just have to let them go. You know, especially in some of the things that I've dealt with over the years, and enabling and people enabling me and so forth. And sometimes it's tough love, but sometimes you just got to let them go. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Now, it is a loving thing to do, that's for sure, because true love is a one-way commitment, not a reciprocal giving. And as long as you keep someone bound to you, that person will control your reactions. That moment that you let go of your anger, you've been set free. And when you can love without expecting love back, you are free to set a boundary that'll make sure that they can never harm you again. Now, this is called taking the reins into your own hands. No longer must you simply cope with a bad relationship, a toxic culture, or a visceral environment. You can become capable of loving them enough to let them go, because love is a commitment. And it is a two-way covenant. God's holiest vision for our lives and our relationships. Loving is not dependent on reciprocity. Have you ever been a teenager? I have. You know, teenagers know it all. Sometimes I wonder if I ever made it to adulthood, because sometimes I think I know it all. Just ask Judy. Anyhow, Jesus says, if all of this great wisdom is not enough to help us be the kind of disciples who can navigate the current culture and wisely in reproductivity, there is always the Jewish concept. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, measure for measure. It's kind of a conception of karma. What goes around comes around. But I hope and pray that we can kind of see what Jesus is saying and what we would do when we do something like that comes back to us. Behaving badly never benefits anybody in the end, but love will. And you'll be surprised at the abundance of life that comes swimming your way in that ocean of grace. For many, discipleship's the hardest thing that you can never undertake. And it is. But it's worth it. But we're also, when we become disciples, we're also going to go through some pruning process. Pruning a plant makes it grow better. Pruning your own life is hard, but it can be done. And then you will be able to reap the benefit more and more and more beneficial. Loving in the face of dissension may feel like you're struggling, swimming upstream or against the current, if you would. But if you remember, that's what disciples do. They swim when others give up. They reproduce under the common circumstances. So my prayer for all of us as we go through this thing called life is that your most driving instinct as a disciple of Jesus Christ be above all. The key is love. Now, not worldly love. Some of the original scriptures and so forth, like in the New Testament, most of it is Greek, and the word translated in some of our Bibles, love or charity, actually reflects in several different kinds of love. Brotherly love, philia. Eros, love between a man and a woman. All of them, I think there's six or seven of them. The most important one that I think in love is agape, unconditional love. That's hard. But thank God somebody unconditionally loved me. And it started out with my repentance and asking Christ to love me just the way that I am. It's hard. It's not easy. But it's worthwhile. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Simple song that we sang in Bible school probably. But it's so much. And I pray that you are in love with Jesus. And if you're not, fall in love with him. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. That love that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen.